Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Our guest is a returning guest, Robert Spencer of JihadWatch.com. He's also the author of several books on Islam, including The Complete Infidel's Guide to Iran. And Robert, it's great to have you on the program. We're doing this in the wake, of course, of the killing recently of that general from Iran. And liberals are all upset and conservatives are all happy, and I think even some people in the Middle East are happy as well, and obviously there's others who are very angry. So talk about this general that was killed.
He was one of the most dangerous men in the world, one of the most foremost jihad terrorists in the world. His killing is more significant than those of Osama bin Laden and Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, both of whom were in hiding, with their activities having been severely curtailed at the time they were killed. Soleimani, by contrast, was extremely active. He was a military officer, the commanding general of the Quds Force, which is part of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps. The specific mission of the Quds Force is to export the Islamic Revolution of Iran outside of Iran's borders. And what that means in practice is that Soleimani oversaw the jihad terror actions that the Islamic Republic of Iran sponsored and bankrolled around the world. In the first place, he was responsible, as the Pentagon has said, for the deaths of over 600 American soldiers in Iraq. He also was the supervisor of the work of Hezbollah, the jihad terror group in Lebanon that menaces Israel, and Hamas and Islamic Jihad, which are also financed by Iran. So this is just a part of his activities. You can see he was very dangerous. He was very bad for a lot of people. And you're right, Jerry, there are a great many people in Iran and in Iraq as well who are very happy today that he is no longer plaguing them.
Wow. And I understand that a lot of the people, American soldiers who lost limbs and were blown up because of these IEDs in the road, that he was kind of a mastermind behind all that as well, all these injured people.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it is that it turned out that he was able to kill over 600 American soldiers. He made sure that even though there was no significant military presence opposing us in Iraq, that nonetheless American soldiers would be constantly in danger from the IEDs, as you said, and from various other kinds of ambush attacks, suicide attacks, car bombings, and so on.
Okay, now some of the liberals after his death, and it happened before Friday, so they saw, you know, images out of Iran, video of Iran, and oh, look, they're yelling, death to America, death to America. But I'm thinking, wait a minute, they've been saying that for years. I mean, there's nothing new to that death to America chant.
No, nothing new at all. As a matter of fact, it's been mandated, required, in the mosques in Iran on every Friday when they have the Friday prayers. The Muslims are required in Iran to chant death to America, death to Israel. This has been something that's been in place for years. In The Complete Infidel's Guide to Iran, I show how Iran has been on a war footing against the United States since 1979 without any interruption or let up. They have behaved as if we are a hostile power, and that has more than once spilled over into extraordinarily hostile actions. Notably, a few years ago when a Navy patrol boat went into Iranian waters in the Persian Gulf. They were held by the Iranians, humiliated, made to kneel. Photographs were taken. They were mocked and ridiculed in Tehran. And this is not the actions, obviously, of a power that is either friendly to or neutral toward the United States. This is a hostile enemy power. And Barack Obama only reinforced that kind of behavior by doing nothing except continue to press forward with his nuclear deal in the wake of that incident, whereas now Trump has put them on notice after the siege of the embassy in Baghdad that they cannot engage in this kind of adventurism without consequence.
What was he even doing in Baghdad, which is where he was killed, at the Baghdad airport, I understand, through a drone strike? What was he doing in Iraq versus in Iran?
Well, that's exactly the thing. There you go. We don't know exactly what he was doing, but we do know that he wasn't going to Baghdad on vacation, that Baghdad had just been the site of an attack on the American embassy, and it had just been stopped when the American troops showed up. So he was likely coming in order to coordinate further attacks on those American troops.
Okay, I was looking at your website, excellent website, jihadwatch.com, and I saw this article. It was very short. An entire world will avenge you. Pro-Soleimani rally in Molenbeek, which is a Muslim area, or the Muslim area of Brussels. And you point out, by the way, that in Europe, there's a lot of tolerance towards jihadism and Sharia, and at the end of the day, you know, Europe will one day rue that fact.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There were pro-Soleimani demonstrations over the last couple of days, not only in Molenbeek, but also in London, in Toronto, and elsewhere in the West. And you've got to wonder that this is a man who was an enemy of the West, not just of the United States, but of the United Kingdom, Belgium, and Canada, the three places where these demonstrations in his support of him took place. And he is therefore somebody who nobody in the West should be supporting. It would be like living in England in 1939 and supporting Hitler. Yeah. And yet that is exactly what we have now in the West, is a very large group of people who don't really have any loyalty to the country that they're living in, but they are loyal to other powers and other entities, most notably the worldwide ummah, the worldwide Islamic community.
Well, and I've seen some of these Hollywood stars and Hollywood types or whatever, you know, come out with tweets against the president. And there was one where the lady was basically trying to say to the Iranian people, hey, we're, you know, he's not my president, you know, something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing. Colin Kaepernick said, oh, this is just another example of American imperialism striking out against brown and black people. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this Soleimani guy killed lots of people, whether they were white, black, brown, whatever, in the name of jihad.
Yes, and he was also pretty white himself. It's just that Colin Kaepernick and the West, the left in the West in general, they can only see things or refuse not to see things in racial terms, and everything is all about evil white people and noble brown people, and it's kind of ridiculous when you apply it to somebody like Soleimani, who has a long record of bloodthirsty and cynical, amoral actions. This is no hero by any stretch of the imagination. And quite a few people in Iran were relieved that he was gone because he was a very vicious character.
Right. Now, the Iranians are, of course, Shiites, as opposed to the other 85% of the
Muslim world,
which is Sunni. But both believe in jihad, both advocate violence. I mean, the radical groups within both those communities, correct?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to note that Vice President Pence was tweeting about Soleimani, and he noted that he aided some of the 9/11 hijackers in getting to Afghanistan for training. And a lot of people who were uninformed but didn't know they were uninformed, they ridiculed Pence and said, this is ridiculous. Iran is Shiite and Al-Qaeda is Sunni, and the Iranian government never would have helped Al-Qaeda strike the United States. Well, it's a matter of fact, it's not a hard thing to discover. It's actually in the 9/11 Commission report that Iran was involved in the 9/11 attacks. People don't know this, but it's in there. And there was a court judgment a few years back of involving a building that was owned by Iranian interests that was actually ordered to be sold and the proceeds turned over to 9/11 victims because the victims' representatives established in court how deeply Iran was involved in the 9/11 attacks and that this included shepherding the hijackers to Afghanistan for training, which is just what Pence said. Soleimani was the one who oversaw all that as well. And so it's interesting to note that people think, Shiites and Sunnis never work together and hate each other, when Soleimani was actually an example of how they will cooperate with each other and work together against the infidel.
Okay, tell us about these blood-red flags of revenge that are over the minarets, in various places in the Middle East, or in Iran at least, against this strike against Soleimani.
Yeah, the blood red flag does indeed mean revenge, and that's based on the Quran, which does say, like the Old Testament, an eye for an eye, and so on. but there is no corresponding passage like the turn the other cheek passage and do not return evil for evil. There's nothing like that from the New Testament in the Quran. And so what we have is essentially an endless cycle of revenge. The Iranians will do something, and if there is a strong response, which there has not been for the most part, then they will now have a pretext to take revenge, and then they will do that. And a lot of people are taken in by this, and they think, well, we just have to curtail our responses, and if we don't do anything, then they won't hurt us anymore. That's what Rose McGowan, the actress that you were talking about before, yeah, was essentially saying. And she actually did say explicitly, please don't kill us. the thing is, though, that it's just a pretext, because only the caliph of the Muslims, the leader of all the Muslims worldwide, is authorized to wage offensive jihad. And so in the absence of a caliph, or in the Shiite context, the imam, then there is no offensive jihad, and all jihad has to be couched in defensive terms, which means it's always in the language of revenge. And that doesn't mean, though, that it'll all go away if we just start being nice. As a matter of fact, because we're also dealing with a culture that only understands strength and weakness, Trump's response is more likely to bring about peace than Obama's.
Wow, interesting. Okay, we have about 2 or 3 minutes left. What? Tell us about Iran itself. First of all, I understand that a lot of the people are young, and certainly the leadership is committed to jihad and Sharia and so forth in the Shiite way of life. But that doesn't necessarily mean all the men on the streets, have the same view. Tell us about this.
You're quite right, yes. The Iranians are fed up with the regime. They don't want it, but it's very difficult for a political opposition to arise, because anyone that does gets killed immediately. Nonetheless, there are increasingly widespread demonstrations around the country. I have seen a stadium full of people at a sporting event in Iran chanting, "Long live Reza Shah." Reza Shah being the Shah of Iran from the 1930s.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that's saying that they want the monarchy back. They don't want the Islamic Republic. And there is tremendous dissatisfaction among the people of Iran for the Islamic Republic.
Okay, wait. Help me to understand. You said, "Long live Reza Shah." That's not the same guy as the one who died from cancer in the late 70s or early 80s. Oh, the father of Reza Pahlavi, or whatever his name was.
Yeah, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. He was the Shah who was toppled by the Islamic Republic.
In the 70s.
Yes. And he is not so popular as his father was, partly because he was facing the beginnings of the Islamic Revolution, and he responded with repressive measures that were greatly magnified, to be sure, in the international media, but also left resentment toward him in Iran. But a lot of that resentment has been tempered in the years since then by the fact that the Islamic Republic has been far more violent and vicious toward its own people than either Shah ever was. But Reza Shah is held in great esteem and regard, and when they chant his name, they're saying that there ought to be the Persian monarchy back rather than the Islamic Republic.
We have 45 seconds. What needs to be said that hasn't been said? And one real quick question about Iran's makeup. Is it mostly young people? In other words, half the country is younger than 20, something like that?
Yeah, it's a very youthful country, and a great huge number. Of course, nobody knows exactly how many, but there's no doubt that the locus of the discontent against the regime is the young people. So that's a great sign of hope.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. JihadWatch.com for more information. Robert Spencer has been our guest, and he's written all sorts of terrific best-selling books, New York Times best-selling books, about Iran and about Islam in general. Thank you, Robert. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jerry.